G'day everyone, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast. Welcome back to a bright new year. I hope you all had a lovely break over Christmas. We certainly did. This week, we have with us Alan.
I have returned. I have a coffee. Everything's good. New Year's starting off well, I'd say.
Always a good way to start the new year is with a coffee. And Matt.
Hello, I too have coffee.
We've all got coffee.
Well, that's how we basically have to live from now on. I refuse to ever do a podcast with anyone anymore without coffee.
Yep, got to keep us awake. Hatsune Miku. We've thrown that in this week because firstly it's a Miku track and Miku is awesome, but also because there is Future Tone. Miku Future Tone is coming out this week, which is really exciting stuff for anybody who speaks English and missed the Japanese original release. So we thought we'd start this year talking about 2017 games. Seemed like a pretty logical place to start. And the thing that I think surprised us all is that the January release schedule is pretty insane. Usually with January, you get a bit of a break to catch up on your backlog from the last year. But nope, that's not going to happen this year. You're going to be playing an awful lot of new games and probably adding to that backlog.
Yeah, it's one of the craziest things I've actually seen in a while. Like, because usually you don't have games release in January, but for some reason we have like almost, I think, 20 games in the space of a month, which is insane to me.
Do you think maybe the publishers listened to our podcast from a few weeks ago? We were complaining about release dates, and now they're just trying to spread them out over the year a bit more.
Yeah, we're probably not charging them for our advice then.
We should just make them pay for a consulting service where we just tell them don't release in December or don't release in November, and they're going to release in like January and February from now on. We've just ruined everything again for everyone, essentially what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's probably most interesting is that it's pretty Japanese game centric in terms of the big releases this month. So Miku, as I mentioned before, just going through the list, you've also got Atelier Shelley Plus on the PlayStation Vita. You've got Fate Extella. For Fate fans, that's going to be pretty cool. Gravity Rush 2, which the 10 people that played the original Gravity Rush, despite it being on PlayStation Plus forever, will probably be looking forward to. Dragon Quest 8 on the 3DS, Kingdom Hearts, Resident Evil. I know some people are kind of sort of looking forward to that, I guess. A new Tales game. Just a little bit.
you can just move over me while I just scream a little bit.
And Yakuza 0, which is just awesome. So that's just some of them.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a busy release month. So I'm going to go back to RE7 again, because oh my god, it looks good. Oh, I'm excited. So I think a lot of people were really skeptical as well when that game was announced, just because it was in first person, and because so many games in horror now are first person but are the least scary things in the world, layers of fear. I think a lot of people were very, very skeptical of it, which is fair enough. However, I believe in them, because they seem to actually want to be fixing the things that were wrong with the 5 onwards, I guess, and making it more of a horror game again, which I really appreciate, especially with all the sort of developer blogs that I've been putting up occasionally. It does actually look like it's going to be a well-made game, so I have no doubt that it'll be good. It's just a question of how good and whether or not it'll be so genre-defining as RE4 was for the third-person over-the-shoulder games.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I'm still a bit skeptical of the game. To me, it looks like what happened was the Resident Evil team saw the popularity of that PT demo and kind of figured they'd latch onto that. How the game is going to fit in with, I guess, the broader mythology of Resident Evil is my greatest concern. It seems like a really significant departure from the RE games beforehand, which is not a bad thing. I mean, especially if you look at 5 and 6, they desperately needed to do something different. But whether they're able to still maintain that this is a Resident Evil game while doing something so completely different is still up in the air. I want to like it. I want it to be really good, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's a bit hit and miss with some Resident Evil games, unfortunately. And I think the best way they're going to be able to even tie into anything sort of RE universe related is to just have like the Umbrella logo somewhere, or because they had that in the demo as well. Like they had the Umbrella helicopter over the I think it was over the house, but it was on a videotape. It was pretty cool. But, you know, I'm not really fussed about the greater RE mythology because it's generally nonsense.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be playing it. One, because I'm a wimp and it looks terrifying. and because I feel like I would be required to play it in VR, and I just don't think my heart can handle that. But also, it comes out just a few days after Dragon Quest VIII, which I assume will just be all my time, because that game, well, it's amazing. It was amazing when it first came out, and I can only kind of imagine how good it'll be to revisit it on 3DS and enjoy it again.
Yeah, it would be really nice if Nintendo could finally get a hit with the Dragon Quest games that it publishes. I don't believe that Dragon Quest IX was particularly popular, despite being in the West, I mean, despite being a DS exclusive. And I know 7 on the 3DS was a bit of a bomb, which was really unfortunate because it's a really good game. Nintendo seems to... I mean, Nintendo takes on the publishing duties for Dragon Quest in the West because Square Enix just doesn't want to with its mainstream games, with its mainline games. So it would be nice to see Nintendo finally rewarded for actually bringing those games out West. So people, buy Dragon Quest VIII. It's
yeah,
good.
I always hate it when you have like a game that would just not make it out otherwise and it just doesn't do well enough. It makes me really upset because it's like, oh, I wanted it to succeed for you though. I don't own that console, but I want you to have like a victory with this one. I want you to be able to like sit there and do the prompto thing with the I just want that to be a gift for every single release that's like not going to make it out in the West but is somehow brought out by like some random publisher. I love that.
Yeah, I think Dragon Quest VIII might, maybe this is just wishful thinking, but I think it might have a slightly better chance just because of the PS2 release, unless I'm mistaken, was the first Dragon Quest game released in Australia and New Zealand.
Yes,
so I think it's a bit better known than the rest of the series, and hopefully that might make it do a bit better in this part of the world. Maybe not America, but over here, hopefully.
Well, it's also on... Dragon Quest VIII, I mean, is also on iPad. I don't know how many people actually bought it on iPad, but unlike Dragon Quest VII, to your point, it is available. So people hopefully have good memories of it, or at least somewhat familiar with the characters, which might make them a little bit more inclined to buy into the game. It has a good bunch of characters. It's got a really good bunch of characters.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first Dragon Quest game that I played, and it was on a demo disc that I had. That remember when those existed? Yeah, I don't. That was on a demo disc that I had, and I played the first hour and a half about 7 or 8 times, but never found a copy of the disc itself to buy it. So I can tell you everything about the introduction. If you need to know that introduction, I'm your Matt. I'm like a scholar on DQ8's introduction. But yeah, I feel like it's...
You might just have to buy a 3DS.
I could just buy it on iPad. I didn't even know it was on iPad. That's amazing. I'm very excited now. That's like 100% what I'm going to be doing this break. I'm not even going to be trying to edit or anything. I'm just going to download DQA and play the intro 7 times and uninstall it.
There you go. See, January, and you've already got a new game to play.
Yeah, it's almost like it's been set up for me. Also, another really cool game coming out this month is The Hitman, the complete first season, which is an amazing, amazing thing that I didn't expect to succeed at all because it has no budget. But it now is like one of the best sort of action adventure games, which I hate that moniker so much, but it's still like, you know, appropriate. Of the last like couple of years, it's really, really good. It made up for Absolution 100%. Even though I didn't think Absolution was that bad, Hitman first season was so, so very good and understood exactly what everyone wanted from Blood Money.
Yeah, well, I haven't got too much to say about Hitman.
It's good. Just agree with me, just nod your head and say yes.
I'll take your word for it. I mean, I haven't played Hitman games at all.
Really?
Yeah, that's a bit of a blank spot, I guess, in my gaming experience. I probably should at some stage. I get the feeling that I would probably actually like them. It's just time. I just do not have time. But yeah, if we're running through other games that we're looking forward to, I would like to quickly talk about Yakuza, because Yakuza is just incredible. I can't talk about the game itself. I am playing it for review, but I'm under embargo conditions. So you won't hear me say too much about Yakuza itself, but the series is Yakuza 0 itself, but the series is really, really good. I love every game that comes out in that series. in part because they do such a great job in making me utterly homesick for Japan. Not that I know too much about the Yakuza lifestyle in Japan.
I was going to say, suddenly Matt becomes a Yakuza and leaves us all to start his own, like, duration.
No, nothing like that. But the way that they build the city and the kind of the atmosphere and the aesthetics of the city is just so utterly spot on. And Japan is such a unique city aesthetic landscape that it's actually quite hard to find games that do it real justice. And the Yakuza games really do. So if for no other reason than just wanting to explore the city, you should be looking forward to Yakuza Zero.
Matt, I don't know if this would be going into too much detail while you're under embargo, but I have never played a Yakuza game. I'm very intrigued, and Yakuza Zero looks like, it being a prequel, it might be a good jumping on point. Do you think that would be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, nothing I'm going to say here isn't already in public domain, so I don't think Sega's going to wrap me over the knuckles too much about it. Basically,
well, yeah, everything for you.
Basically, yeah, it's an origin story. I can't remember actually if it's actually a remake of the original Yakuza.
Or it is a remake of the original, yeah.
There you go.
I think it's a remake.
The original. So that makes it really easy. Okay. It's actually the first game in the series remade, which makes it, you know, a perfect starting point, really, if you haven't played a Yakuza game before, because they do actually follow on. Each one is a direct sequel to the last. And I actually got my start with Yakuza in Yakuza 3. And I needed the game's kind of catch-up feature that it had. Was it Yakuza 3 or 4?
I think it was 4.
Anyway, the one that had for the previous three stories, I actually needed that to kind of get my head around what was going on when I started the game. I think if you're going to start playing Yakuza games now, playing the first one is a good one, and then you can jump into the PS3 ones and catch up.
And they are all very well-made games. I do also just want to correct myself. I made a mistake. I thought it was a prequel. I thought it was a remake. It's not a remake. It's a prequel.
Oh, there
I'm
you
an
go.
Idiot. I'm an idiot, and I should never be trusted.
Well, if it's a prequel, then it does a great job of setting the characters up without breaking embargo. So, you know, you can play this one and not feel like you're missing bits of information. And welcome back. That was a track from Yakuza, because Yakuza is awesome. It's got a great soundtrack too. Okay, so we just had a look at January. And if you've got time to still play games after that, you've got February through December to look forward to as well. And yeah, it's going to be a very busy year this year, I think. Even if you don't end up buying the Nintendo Switch, which is probably going to be the only hardware release of any significance this year, there is going to be so many games to play that you're just not going to stop, especially if you happen to be a fan of Japanese games. And JRPGs in particular are going to have a hell of a year this year. So if we just run through, I guess, some of the key ones, some, not all, and I just know that Alan is going to have to talk about Persona before we talk about anything else, because otherwise he's just going to be like a crazy guy. So, Alan,
I'm still bouncing it, mate.
Talk about Persona, go.
Persona is really good. That's all I really have to say. It's going to be so good, and I have no doubt that it's going to be like the greatest game ever made. Yeah. Like, I've been talking about this game for the last like 3 months of my life and getting more and more excited every time I see anything about it.
Have you decided who your favorite character is yet?
Oh, it's definitely not the stupid fox kid boy who speaks like an idiot. Oh. Okay, no, I have a problem. Every single game that has like the, oh, hello, yes, I am the classically trained artist. I pursue the world of art. I hate that character.
Sounds like
I hate him so much. Yes, I know, that's why I hate him. just to spite you. I just hate that character so much, but then also the rest of them look really, really cool, so I don't really have any issues. I am getting more Gunner plush though when I order the game, so that's probably the greatest thing that's going to happen to me this year. I'm calling it now.
Who's the blonde character? What's her name?
Anne.
Anne. Yeah,
she's like, did I know that from this game? Really so funny to me. Just immediately knew that.
I was about to call her Rosette.
Yeah, she looks like the Rosette from this game, so that's probably going to be my favorite. Let's face it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm going
to Persona. I feel like Persona 5 is going to be pretty good no matter what. Like, if you haven't played Persona game before, it's probably going to be like a still fantastic JRPG. And if you have like played Persona before, then you're going to be like, this is just going to ruin Persona 3 and 4, I feel, because it's going to just change everything into a better like quality of life game. And that's awesome because I went from P4 to P3, and that was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life because P3 is just mechanically worse, and it's much more frustrating to play than P4 Golden is. So I've kind of had to like just watch the movies instead for P3 to try and catch up, just because I don't have the effort or the time to sort of put in. And I also hate most of the characters, because anyone who thinks Yukari is a good waifu can like jump off the small block into a puddle.
I mean, for me, I think the Persona games are pretty timeless. Like they last a lot better than a lot of other games. I can still play Persona 1, 2, as well as any other game that you can play kind of by modern standards. They obviously look more primitive, but I feel that they hold up in terms of how they play as well pretty well. For me, I struggle with Persona 3, not because I think it's an old game or too difficult to play, like too archaic to play now, but more because I just wasn't as invested in the characters as I was with Persona 4. I don't see Persona 5 replacing Persona 4, because for me, the draw of Persona 4 was entirely the narrative and the characters, and obviously Persona 5 has a different bunch of characters and a different narrative. So I feel like they'll work well in concert with one another, and I hope actually that those people that kind of get pulled into Persona 5, being probably the most mainstream release of the Persona series to date, there will be a few people that play Persona 5 as their first Persona. I hope after playing it, you go and check out at least Persona 4, because that is still going to be one of the greatest games ever made.
And to be honest as well, Persona 5 is. To be honest as well, like if you don't want to play Persona 4 because you don't own a Vita, or you don't want to like download a PS2 emulator or whatever, you can watch the anime. It's not great, but it does the job. And the characters are all pretty well done in that show, so
Persona 4 is also available on the PlayStation Network for PS3.
It is?
It is in America, I think. You might have to use a US account. Persona 3 is available on the
Persona 3 Fez is on the Australian PSN as well. And that's on the Vita as well for Persona 3 Portable, which if you own a Vita and you're one of the three people in the world who owns a Vita, like me and Matt, so you can play that there and then cry because he bought a Vita.
Are we the only three people in the world who have Vitas? The three of us.
Oh, are you joking? It's like the miracle. It's a Christmas miracle, except it's in January.
But yeah, okay. So that's Persona. Now let's go on to the one that I bounce around like crazy about, Nier. And I've never learned how to pronounce it. I think it's pronounced Nier. Anyway, Nier Automata comes out in March from memory. The demo's out there now. People have already played the demo. I played the demo. I thought I came away from the demo fully convinced that this is going to be the greatest game of all time, the previous Nier. So, yeah, this game is just going to be absolutely incredible, I think. It's developed by Platinum Games. It's not. It's developed by Yoko Taro, the same guy behind the Dragon Guard and Nier series. Platinum Games are the code monkeys doing the bits and pieces for him. So it feels very much like a Yoko Taro game, but thanks to the incredible skills of the Platinum team, it plays better than previous Yoko Taro games. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that one. I think you should all be too. The only problem, I guess, is that it is a sequel to the previous Nier, and you might want to play the original. The problem is the original is ridiculously hard to find, as Matt has discovered. Anybody else who missed the original release of Nier has discovered you can't buy it on PlayStation Network. You can only buy the physical copy, and it's pretty hard to find. So hopefully Square Enix actually gets around to releasing Nier as a HD remaster or something sometime between now and when Nier Automata comes out.
Yeah, I just also want to make a point that Yoko Taro is one of the coolest dudes in the entire games industry because of his quote of him saying that because Platinum's working so well, he just drinks a lot now, and that's okay. It's one of the greatest. I love it so much. But when I drink, I make better games, so that's okay. That's like the life goal.
Yeah.
He's one of the coolest people I've actually noticed in the games industry, and I didn't know he existed until Nier, and even then it was like 5 years after Nier released.
I didn't really know who he was until Nier Automata was announced a couple of years ago,
and he walked on stage with the head of I've lost his name. Matt, help me out. The kid from Nier.
Yeah, the kid from Nier.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything more.
The kid from Nier because
if you can't find Nier as well, like the gameplay isn't that great, so you can probably just do what I did and just watch a Let's Play. There are a couple of really good ones on YouTube at the moment. But yeah, it'll sort of get you up to speed with what the world is and what it's trying to do. It's really cool. It's really, really cool. Platinum are going to fix it and make it playable, so I've got absolutely no problems with what they're doing here.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see Yoko Taro finally get a commercial hit. Whether he kind of, I don't know whether his style actually deserves a commercial big hit or not is up for debate. I kind of think he works better as a kind of niche developer in the same vein as the likes of Goichi Suda and Tomonobu Itadaki.
Well, actually, did you hear that Suda's last game, Let It Die, has over a million downloads now?
Yeah, that's a big hit for him as well, which is good. Yes, he hasn't had one since.
I'm really happy.
Chainsaw was a pretty major hit. But yeah, it's good to see Let It Die do well.
Mm.
Hopefully he can do a premium version at some stage, which doesn't have microtransactions.
I don't think he needs to. The microtransaction stuff in there is actually really well done. Like, I've bought a little bit of stuff on it because I feel justified in doing it and not like the game's pressuring me, but like I want to.
I have too. I mean, we had that conversation a couple of weeks ago. I just thought, I just think that he could do a lot more with storytelling and stuff when he wasn't constrained by, free-to-play structure. Mm-hmm. But, we can come back to that another day. That's a 2016 game, and we're talking about 2017 games right now.
I'm sorry, I've ruined everything.
So, we've got
Alan's, you have.
Alan's best game of all time is coming out this year. My best game of all time is coming out this year. Let's go for the trifecta. Matt, what's your best game of all time that's coming out this year?
I don't know if I have a best game. I have a lot of games I'm looking forward to.
You have to be absolute like us.
yeah, Yeah, no, I don't have any. Well, the best game of all time that's coming out this year is still rumored, so I don't know if it's actually coming out or if it's coming out this year, which is Beyond Good and Evil 2. But it is still very much shrouded in history. Yeah. So, but what I am really looking forward to is Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, which is a re-release of a very old game. But I think one of the reasons that I'm looking forward to it so much is that when it originally came out on PS2, I really hated it. But kind of over time, just from it's sort of grown, its appeal has grown on me a lot. But I don't have a PS2, and I think I've lost my copy of the game as well. And so I've been wanting to replay it for a few years now, just to kind of go back and see if I enjoy it this time around. And the Zodiac Age will let me do that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm in the exact same spot, except I just don't have anyone to ever touch that game ever again.
I think the funny thing is, I think with Final Fantasy games, they all seem to have that kind of, well, the modern ones anyway, always seem to have that negative response at first. But as time goes on, they become more and more well-regarded. Like, I distinctly remember Final Fantasy X being absolutely slammed.
Really?
By a lot of fans back in the day when we had forums rather than Twitter. Yeah. Because
I remember that too.
Yeah, it was absolutely slammed. People absolutely hated the game. And then, you know, when it came time for Square Enix to release the HD remaster on PS3 and Vita and now PS4, all of a sudden now it's been redefined as this kind of classic. And Final Fantasy XII is following in that same footsteps. Like, when it was out, it was all kinds of controversial. And now the hype behind that HD remaster is real for anybody who's not Alan.
No, I'm excited for it so I can hate it.
And I just wonder if that's going to, you know, that logic would say that will probably flow through to Final Fantasy XIII as well. I think down the track, people are going to rediscover that one for being perhaps a better game than they thought when it came out. And, you know, way down the track, Final Fantasy XV, although I think that one got a better response at first, up front. I think that one will also grow in stature as time goes on. Seems to be the Final Fantasy effect.
I've changed my mind. I do have a favorite game of all time that's coming out this year, which is Danganronpa V3. After those first two games that were kind of, I don't think they got as much traction as they deserve, because they were really amazing games, but they kind of were on Vita, which, as we know, we are the only three people who have Vitas, and
I won't play it.
And I think it's hard. Aim to market just because it's so weird and so, like, there's no way to get an idea of what it's going to be just from looking at it. But I think now it's picked up the series has picked up enough traction that V3 can come out and make it its mark, and it's on PS4, which will be open a whole lot of new doors. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that and how that is going to mess up my brain.
Yeah, it'll be a good year for people to discover Danganronpa, because the first two are getting a re-release in one package on the PS4, and then that side story, another episode, is also going to be released on PS4. So by the end of the year, you'll have four Danganronpa games sitting on your PlayStation 4 hard drive, which you can play over and over again and love every second of them. And that's,
I think, the VR demo might be coming out in English this year as well.
That would be great.
Which is, I've played the Japanese one. That is amazing.
As long as you can hug a virtual Monokuma, it's all good with me.
You kind of can.
Cool. Sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have absolutely nothing to contribute to this conversation, because I have no understanding of what Danganronpa is.
Well, you will.
So I'm going to sit. Exactly. This is the perfect opportunity.
And then just one other one I wanted to quickly mention, because it might just replace Nier as the best game of all time. No, I'm only joking, but it will be a really good game, I think. And that would be Blue Reflections Blue Reflection, whatever it's called, by Gust. Gust being an awesome developer of Japanese RPGs. And yeah, that's going to be one worth really looking forward to because it has the prettiest girls and the prettiest art style you will ever see in a game. Welcome back. That was some music from Danganronpa, which has one of the best soundtracks you'll ever hear. So even if you don't play the games, pick up the music. Okay, so for our last little section today, we thought we'd talk about a particular genre that we've been getting quite deep into over the weeks, last couple of weeks, because there's been an awful lot of releases for whatever reason in that genre, and that's the Tycoon Simulator genre. So just before Christmas, Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic was released on iPad and it was really, really good. If you have any kind of fond memories of those Roller Coaster Tycoon or the earlier Sim Cities or whatever, pick that one up. It's great, works really well on iPad. Then there was Industry Giant 2 released on the PlayStation 4, which plays really well. Unfortunately, it has a nasty bug that causes save files to get corrupted. If they ever patch that, then that'll be a really worthwhile game to look into as well. And then there was Roller Coaster Dreams, which was
the best game of all time.
It's going to be the worst game of 2017, guaranteed.
Even though it
came out in 2016.
Did it come out in 2016?
It came out just before Christmas.
It's still the worst game of 2017. Doesn't matter.
It was a special Christmas present for all of us.
The one they ever wanted us to have. It's the final like nail in the coffin from 2016, being like, hey, we know that you want something. We're going to give it to you. But it's like half-assed and terrible. No, this game's awful. I've got no other things to say about it. It's hilarious to me. I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen is just watching Matt's despair. Just watching him slowly degrade from like reasonably okay, happy Matt into just like, I want to die.
Well, the worst thing was I actually bought the bloody game. I didn't. That wasn't a review. Yeah. I get a most better. Of the games I review are from review codes, but that one I went and bought because I wanted to check it out. I mean, it didn't look great, but I thought it can't possibly be that bad. Famous last words. And yeah, I paid my whatever, 20, 30 bucks or whatever it was for the game, sat down and started to play it and was in tears about 5 minutes later.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that because I almost did the same thing and I was like, had it to my cart and I was ready to hit buy and I was like, oh, maybe I'll hold off on this. I don't really have the money to buy it right now. And then, and I knew, like, it looked bad, and I'd read some really, like, scathing reviews and stuff. But I thought, oh, I just want a roller coaster game on my PS4 that I can play in VR. But yeah, I'm glad you took the hit for all of us, Matt.
Well, that was exactly what I wanted it for too. I wanted a role. I love simulation games, especially when they're on console and I can kind of kick back and relax with the TV. I still play Tropico 5 to this day, and that's a couple of years old now on PS4. So, you know, that was one of the things I kind of wanted to give it a spin for. The other thing was the idea of being able to walk around my park in VR was pretty cool idea. Unfortunately, that's the worst feature of the lot in the game. And basically, as soon as I put the goggles on, I wanted to vomit everywhere. I don't get affected by VR that much, but this game made me sick, like, instantly. So
what you're saying is it's the greatest VR experience you could possibly have, bar none. Nothing else matches.
It's the most transgressive. Let's put it that way.
I remember saying that to you. You're just responding with, no, it's shit. I can't believe that it would release a game that looks that bad and controls that bad. I have the demo of it sitting on my PS4 right now. I'm going to go play it as soon as this podcast is over. And I'm going to lose all of my mind to it because it's going to be terrible. But I want a good, like, theme park world style game on PS4. Like, I would love that, because I played those games almost religiously as a kid.
Yeah, and me too.
It's upsetting because they were really well done. Like, they had effort and they had, like, style and charm and that weird, like, ball monster thing that helped you out, like Clippy from Microsoft Word, who was also similarly the worst as well.
I think the problem is that the three of us all bought Vitas instead of decent computers, and so we can't play Planet Coaster, which looks amazing, and everything I've heard about it sounds like exactly the kind of theme park tycoon, roller coaster tycoon game that we all are wanting, and it's just sitting there on a platform that we can't play it on.
It is really upsetting. I'm basically crying every night while playing Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
Well, I don't know why it's not on PS4.
The controls are quite complicated from what I've seen.
To be honest, I don't buy that anymore. I used to accept that, you know, strategy games or simulation games weren't possible on console because of the control scheme and all that kind of stuff. But given what's come out on the PlayStation 4, I just don't buy that.
It's a small developer, and they... I mean, I hope it'll come out at some point, but I think it probably makes
sense to focus on
PC first and just focus on making that as good as it can be and then worry about trying to adapt the control scheme.
I have no doubt that Frontier will do their best at some point because they like money. Because they've just sued Atari, so they like money. Obviously, I think that they will be releasing it in some form, even if it's like a smaller version, like... just on the PS4 or Xbox One, I reckon it will happen just because they like money. And I think everyone on console would very much like to throw money at them if they can do a game of that sort of depth and detail on a console, which is where I want to play it, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I don't know if, from what I've seen of Planet Coaster, it doesn't look like it would tax the hardware that much. And the PlayStation 4 is not a you know, low spec console. It's fairly beefy. So I don't see anything in that game that they couldn't, not that I'm a developer, so, you know, don't take my word as gospel. I'm not saying that you could put multiplayer in it in a week or anything like that. But from what I can tell, there's nothing in there that I can't imagine would be impossible to recreate on the PlayStation 4. Do it. That's my advice this year to Frontier, Planet Coaster.
Just do it.
Yeah, we were right about the game release thing. We were right about this as well.
It's all fine. We're always right. We're never wrong. Yeah. We're the most correct people in the world.
Except for confirmed. Your opinion.
I have. Look, okay, you're wrong again. This is the first, like, paradox situation, because you're still wrong, but I'm also right. So we're still the rightest people in the world. I'm just, like, balancing out your wrongness so the other Matt is, like, making it better.
I think maybe one of the reasons why Frontier don't want to bring Planet Coaster to PS4 is because they don't want to have to compete with the very excellent Roller Coaster Dreams. Well, that would just be.
It's when you go up against a Titan, yeah. A behemoth like Roller Coaster Dreams.
It just doesn't make business sense.
There's no point. It's just it's dangerous. It's like going up against Battlefield 1 as a shooter. You can't do it.
If I can say one thing about Roller Coaster Dreams, one of the weirdest things that I found about the game was when I jumped online to look at other people's parks, because it has a park sharing tool, which is, you know, a great idea. Upload your park, visit other people's parks, all that kind of stuff. And then when you go into it and you look at some of the parks that people have created, there are people that have obviously spent hours upon hours upon hours playing this thing. Firstly, to actually learn how to work it, because it's pretty difficult to figure out at first, and then to actually build, you know, quite complex park designs, which is still ugly as anything to wander around, so it's kind of wasted effort. But you know,
I was gonna say, this is like polishing a turn, right?
Where people find this time, I will never know. That's it blew my mind in a really kind of weird way, that wow, there are people that have this kind of time on their hands.
Just go outside, play a fun ball game. Basically.
Like play anything. If you're playing a really bad game, play handball, play anything. Just
handball.
Handball's better than
handball. 2017 came out recently, didn't it?
Yeah, a couple of weeks
ago. And it's the exact same game as 2016.
Slightly improved.
It's the exact same game.
It's slightly improved. But I had a
bug. So. I actually cannot believe it.
Engine, and then it had all these extra bugs that weren't in the previous game. So.
That makes it better.
The slightly better animations broke the engine.
That's one of my favorite things, is when they try to like update it to a new engine. Like, yeah, we're moving forward into the future with Handball 17. And it's like the Hans Zimmer score in the background, and you see like the animation of the guy dropping the ball, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Just, everything about that game is such a disaster, and I love it. Anyway, also what's happened to be a disaster is Roller Coaster Dreams, which I'm not letting die because I think it's hilarious, and I want everyone to play it. There's a demo. Go play it. If you're listening to this, it is one of the funniest things. Please.
I still am slightly intrigued, but
you have to play it.
I downloaded the demo, I deleted it without playing it, and I think I might download the game.
Why did you do that? Just
because I was taking up space that I needed for things that are good.
Well, to be fair to Roller Coaster Dreams, one thing that it does have in its benefit, it is literally the only simulator game where you can build God's shop.
I saw that. So I love when you have a typo that's so like a big typo in like a shop for a game. That's one of the best things.
Yeah, I mean, it's meant to be Good Shop, but there's a couple of different versions of this Good Shop that you can buy, and one of them is God Shop. I think quite amusingly, it's not actually the most expensive shop, so I don't know what, you know, maybe they've got a little bit of a political message going on in there.
It's a transgressive game.
It's very transgressive.
God Shop isn't the most expensive shop anymore. But yeah, there's another good example. Like there's Asphalt, which they've spelt A-S-F-A-L-T, Asphalt.
No, it's felt. They've just put felt on the floor. It's fine.
And they meant. Spelled it right, like literally two words later. So yeah, it's just.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so, no.
The name of the road, you can build an asphalt road, and then underneath it's actually spelt Asphalt properly in the description of it. So the translation team, or whatever they used, didn't work for them very well.
Google Translate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why have you forsaken us?
I think the developer is Japanese or Chinese, one or the other.
I think they're Japanese.
Japanese, there you go. So... yeah, obviously they need to speak to some of their other development buddies in the industry and figure out where to go to get translated translation.
Also, where to go to make a good game as well, apparently.
I mean,
it's become the shit on Roller Coaster Dreams podcast, so I kind of am okay with that.
I mean, I feel bad for them because they're obviously, you don't go and create something like this unless you actually care about the project. So, you know, they obviously cared about what they were doing. It's just, I think, It's probably like a team of three or four or something, and they've just tried to throw everything in rather than focus on, you know, getting one or two things done right.
Oh, I feel bad now, but also I don't at all, because it's a $34 product that's on a shop and I cannot believe it exists.
Also, I don't want to like talk down our podcast, but I don't imagine they will be listening to it this.
No, I'm going to send it to them. Tweet it at them.
Possibly not. I mean, I don't think their English is strong enough to actually listen to our podcast in the first place. When they've
got talking about Asphalt.
Yeah, Asphalt.
The next podcast is all about Asphalt and games.
But yeah, I mean, to talk more positively about simulation games in general, if you do have a PlayStation 4 and you do want one, once again, I have to really recommend Tropico. Tropico's, you know, it's
really good game now,
but it's brilliant. Like, it's really, really good simulation game.
It was also on PlayStation Plus a while ago. Yeah,
I've had that sitting on my hard drive since then, and I've never got around to actually playing it. So I might do that.
It's very good, and it's quite well done for PS4, so I'm very pleased with it.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like I said, I reviewed Industry Giant this week, last week. If they can fix that bug, just keep an eye out for it, because if they can fix that bug that corrupts the save files, it's a really, really good simulator as well. Quite hardcore. So it's not the prettiest game out there, but the systems that are behind it are really interesting. And it's, I guess, a different kind of sim that you haven't played before. There's not too many games out there that focus on logistics and production. So, yeah, that one's worth looking at.